Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
We're bringing you more hunger and desire than even Roy Keane could ask. Friends, welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Thursday the 7th of January. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Vidushi Nahantaraja.
Yes, we're all snuggled up in our pillow forts, ladies and gentlemen, and there's not going to be any mention of any C words at all today, is there, Luke?
No, absolutely not. We will not be mentioning that word in any way, shape or form. As you dictated earlier this week, Kate, I think it was a very good idea, so I'm happy to stick with it. I will not at any point say any footballer's name that begins with C.
It's actually quite a good policy. How about you, Vish?
Well, I did think that you two were about to C-word each other in the build-up of the show. But I'm glad you didn't. And yeah. I'm glad to at least hear your voice, Mason. Happy New Year as well.
Oh, thanks, mate. And to you. I'm really impressed with your setup, I've got to say. It looks absolutely glam.
Yeah, it's Olympia walked in while I was setting it up and she said it was really cute because I looked like a child. Trying to set up a little.
Oh, I agree with that. I think Vish, your home setup. I've got a lot of comments on it, so just bear with me, okay? One is massive the kid in The Sixth Sense vibes, right? it's like a blanket over the top of you with a light under it that is very sinister. Two, people will share a picture of it on social media and people will think, oh, Vish, isn't he really professional, putting a big soundproof thing around himself to make himself sound good when he's recording at home? That's not the case. He's doing that to insulate himself from when Jules Breach comes to get him.
As you know, guys, I moved house quite recently, and so I just bought a sofa, big grown-up vibes now. And I got it in, and I took all the stuff out of the box, and then I had a massive box. So I've actually got a fort in my sitting room.
Use it. Use it. Use it or lose it. That's what they say.
It's pretty amazing.
Is it a corner couch?
No, why? Oh, this really
I love corner couches.
A departure.
I want to live vicariously through people who have corner couches. I think they're perfect.
I think Jules has got one.
Sofa bed, Vish. So you can come and stay here when you're hiding from Breach again.
Oh, that's really a sofa bed's really sad, isn't it? It's like a divorced. You're like a divorced dad. That's Mason.
That's not what I thought my soft furnishing choices were. I never wanted to make anyway because I never wanted to grow up. I never thought that would say that about me. I thought it would say I'm Peter Pan and everything's fine. Should we get to a bit of football before we analyse my entire life to death here?
I'm happy to do either, to be honest.
Vigorous little cup semi-final. This one finished Manchester City 2, the host Manchester United 0. Means Pep guides his merry gang through to their fourth consecutive league final. They've actually won 5 out of the last 7. And we are going to bloody well cover this Manchester derby. For the dregs, it was the last one. Not only because it was the only major game of football in the UK last night with respect to Oxford City and Billericay Town. Obviously, congrats on your 3-1 win, City. But because it was bloody laugh, wasn't it? Vish, did you love every minute?
Well, I was able to be the bigger person for a change in every sense. And I kind of stepped back and I was like, well, at least they're not stinking out the joint, because that first game, as we mentioned on the show yesterday, was dire. But as soon as it started, I thought, God, this is a really entertaining game. And then I put 2 and 2 together and I was like, but they are better at football than Manchester United, so this could go quite badly. And I mean, they were brilliant, weren't they? Like, we obviously saw snapshots of it in the Chelsea game on the weekend. But, you know, once United had, I suppose, calmed down, you realise that actually that was kind of playing into City's hands. They just controlled the game from then on. And the way they started the second half killed the game, and they were thoroughly deserving of their win, weren't they? Even Roy Keane said so. So that's saying something.
So I think that I broadly agree with that. And, you know, one thing that's been really impressive to me about City is that they now, I wonder whether, and I'm sure other people have said this, so forgive me if this is a plagiaristic point, but I was watching them last night thinking, I wonder whether that Guardiola has planned this. They're now starting to move into a form where they look really good. And I wonder if he sacrificed a bit of early season form to try to hit the straps in the second half of the season, because no one's really stamped their authority on this Premier League this season. I know this is a cup game, I understand that, but as more of a general point, it looks to me that they're a team who now know exactly what they're doing. They also look like a team, weirdly, who love to defend. And if you look at the form of the two centre-backs, particularly over the last few weeks, and last night was another good example of it, not just because John Stones scored a goal with his penis, but the fact that he defended really well
in
as well.
A thigh. How big his penis is?
No comment. It depends
which side he dresses, though.
Exactly. Ask him. Next time you fit him for a suit, Vish, ask him. but the thing is that they look like a... So when the Guardiola fashionable thing happened around 2008 through to whatever it was, 2012, Spanish football experts were saying, well, tiki-taka is like a defensively strong philosophy as well, because you've got the ball so often, you're reducing the other team's chances to score because they just don't get the ball. But this isn't really as much of a tiki-taka team at all. They just look like a team now who can defend and who like to defend. And with all the players they had out, I thought it was a really impressive performance by him last night.
Can't believe he's got in your head so much, Guardiola, Luke, that you think that he's just been planning this all along. Sort of
I think he's a bald fraud.
do you think that, or did one of our
no, I don't think any of us think that. But it was a fun game last night. Particularly, it had to be a fun game to hold our attention when the world felt like it was ending on one of the other channels. But
we're not talking about that. We're leaving the C-words out of this bloody podcast.
We won't go into that.
And let's not forget, the ball was in the back of the net twice in the first 5 minutes at either end. They just absolutely went for it, both of the main Manchesters. What is this? Is this now, Vish, the kind of reinstallation of John Stones into the heart of that City team? I mean, he's been out in the cold for some time, but really getting that goal, getting through to the final, and that sort of roar that he gave out when he scored, seems like he's back in.
Yeah, it was like he was giving it to Colombian defenders again, wasn't he? Or certainly the Colombia team. Do you remember that after the shootout when he was running off and basically flicking them off? Do you remember, Mason, when you... I can't remember what game it was. It would have been... I feel like it would have been a Europa League game. But when Joe Hart made that start for Spurs and you said it was nice to see someone kind of rediscover his purpose, that's what it feels like a bit with John Stones. And as much as his success yesterday... was a countenance to my joy. He does seem to be a player who has got this new lease of life. And I don't know, you know, there were some people at City who weren't necessarily saying his time with them was over, but it's kind of hard. It's hard not to think it was, or not to have thought it was, because considering they can buy the best defenders and they can, you know, they can afford to have some quite high profile, expensive losses to improve, basically.
Yeah.
And he felt like he was going to be one of them. But he's kind of coming to his own. He clearly is a really popular player. And, you know, Micah Richards on Sky yesterday was another great example of having someone who's so recently in the game as a pundit so useful, because while maybe sometimes they're not particularly great at criticising them, they can tell you a lot about the players that they play with, you know, and what they're like behind the scenes and certainly the emotions they were going through. And Richards was saying that, well, you know, Stones' knack of making mistakes was something that was always brought up at City, and people were always aware of it. And it was something that, you know, he was given time to sort out, but when they kept totting up, it was a bit like, well, yeah, God, maybe you can't change. But it's good for him, it's good for England, and it's good for City that he's back in, this kind of form. And I think, you know, when we're looking at defenders and the way that we expect modern defenders to play, you know, he's been around for quite a while and he's been doing that. And maybe we're in a situation now, actually, where the game has got to a stage where he's suddenly back in vogue, or players like him are back in vogue, if that makes sense.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. It's kind of good to see. And I absolutely agree with you about the connection with players finding themselves again. And he was working with Ruben Dias really, really well as well, wasn't he?
I think the partnership, sorry Kate to cut in, but I think the partnership thing, excuse me, is something that isn't really covered an awful lot and maybe not covered enough. And I think if you go back to the legendary, and I think it for the season that they had in 2004-05, the legendary set-back partnership of Terry and Carvalho, like that was just a really complementary partnership. And Carvalho was probably underrated in that, just because he didn't spend as much time in English football, and because he wasn't the captain of England, or obviously all that kind of obvious stuff. But it might just be that John Stones' partnership with Diaz is a little bit more well suited in Guardiola's mind, and that's why it's kind of working. But I mean, I used to play football on Saturdays all the time, and I used to make loads of mistakes at centre back, and no one ever kept picking me. So I'm not sure why Stones deserves the special treatment. But listen, if he is going to score goals with his penis, you can't really argue with that.
There's no certainty that it was his penis, as we should add as a disclaimer.
We don't know it wasn't.
We don't know it wasn't. That's true. There's no evidence either way, I guess. Only John Stones will truly know.
Well, Kate, what I like about it is, if you were like 8 years old, right? If you were 8 years old and you were playing for the team that you love playing for, and you were the next big thing, and it all went a bit wrong, and someone said to an 8 year old, "What's your idea of redemption? I come on and I play against Manchester United and I score a goal with my penis, yeah?" And he's done it. He's actually done it. It's like a cartoon strip in Viz.
Yeah, it'd either be penis or arse, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
Guys, have you seen this thing in Denmark? I mean, maybe it's based on John Stones. Who the hell knows? But the kind of Danish equivalent of the BBC, I think DR, they've commissioned a cartoon for children, right? Okay, I'm not saying this is John Stones. Actually, now I've reread the thing. it's the man with the world's longest penis and how he overcomes challenges in daily life.
That's crazy.
This is a cartoon for kids.
But you know what's good about it is the fact that, so we all know this, and I've got a lot of love for our Scandinavian brothers and sisters, particularly Lars Sivertsen, who works with us regularly, and I've spent a bit of time over there. It's a great, yeah, exactly. It's a great place. And when you see those lists of countries that are the happiest with the best kind of outcomes for children and the best education and the best general happiness among their citizens, it's always Scandinavian countries. But I put it to you two, that if we're all being honest with ourselves, we all also know that they're a bit weird.
I mean, the thing about having a penis that big is, as John Stones showed yesterday, is that, you know, it's a part of your anatomy which you can score a goal with. So therefore, it is a part of anatomy that can be adjudged offside.
It's true.
So if you've got a penis that big, you're constantly having to face away from goal. So unless you're kind of attuned to being that kind of striker, I don't think it's going to be particularly helpful. So I realise
it's hard to know if you have more ball control, isn't it? I don't know.
Well, presumably you could wrap it around the ball, couldn't you, and like throw it.
But Fish, do you remember? Listen, I'm not sure Kate remembers this, but maybe you guys both do. I don't know. But there was a famous photo of Steve Lomas playing for West Ham, and he scored, and it looked like he may have been aroused in the celebration through the act of scoring. Right?
Yes, yes, yes.
It is possible now with VAR that someone could be adjudged offside because of an erect penis. And I'm just putting it out there because it's probably something that's in the psyche of the nation, the football supporting nation, but no one's wanted to articulate it yet. And I think that's what the ramble is here for. I think at some point, in theory, we could see an erect penis being offside.
Okay, so two goal scorers who are both quite unexpected. John Stones and also Fernandinho scoring with his, I think, just foot. Luke, do you want to sprinkle your magic over that one?
Are we moving on then? Are we moving on? Okay. Because I was going to say, you could be in a situation where a defender could arouse a forward so that they could be judged offside, couldn't they?
Kate can't stop us because she's not in the same room as us now. Okay? We're away, mate. This is dream stuff.
I was wondering what the equivalent of kicking you under the table was.
Yeah.
Turns out there isn't anything, is there? There's just nothing I can do. Yeah. I'm trying to think of something neutral to say about Fernandinho's goal.
So what about? So Kate,
it was fun. It was good. It didn't have a penis in.
I'll rescue you. It was one of those. Do you know what? It was one of those goals that didn't look technically brilliant, but the speed of thought to guide it into the bottom corner, and goals that bounce about three times before they go in never look that good. But what he was able to do is just think so quick that no one else could react, and before the goalkeeper even realised it was in the back of the net. So, and that was the killer blow for Man City, as I'm sure we all know. You mentioned, though, just to change the subject ever so slightly, you mentioned Roy Keane earlier. Look, Roy Keane gets a lot of praise from me on this show just for being the great, almost like the great equaliser among football fans and non-football fans. Because as I've said to you before, my friends and my wife, who aren't necessarily that into football, they will watch TV of Roy Keane's on. And I think some more of these po-faced kind of commentators and writers, of which Vish is friends with most, they kind of missed the point about Roy Keane a little bit. And I think what Sky Sports have to do is they have to have a balance between like serious analysis, which they do very well on Monday nights, and then have a little bit of a kind of universal bit of TV charisma box office, which is why they had Mourinho in, which is why I've got Roy Keane in now. But what I wanted to say was, we all bang the drum for Ali McCoist and John Champion as the double act we need in these difficult times. But I think, not Jules Breach and Vishahantharaja, because that's a different thing, but I think that Roy Keane and Micah Richards are possibly a double act to rival them. And I'm not sure if you guys ever saw this, and to those listening, I would recommend this. If you're on Instagram, follow Micah Richards, because he is constantly winding Roy Keane up in ad breaks, after shows. Last night, after it finished, Micah Richards was badgering Roy Keane to agree that when lockdown ends, they should go on a big road trip together. And I'm telling you now, I'm telling you now, ITV2 will make that by the end of 2021. I'm telling you.
I'm all over that
prediction. Yeah, that is awesome. I mean, I love to watch them on the football as well, generally. To completely change tone, this was, of course, also celebrating the Manchester City legend, Colin Bell, who died earlier this week, aged 74. So there were some quite lovely tributes paid to him. And Guardiola, in his post-match, talked about how this was a kind of a testament to him and that kind of performance, often compared to Kevin De Bruyne as well, in terms of playing style, Colin Bell. So yeah, a sad and kind of emotional night for the club, but ultimately a brilliant performance, and they are through to the final, the Carabao Cup final on April the 25th, where they will meet none other than dead cert winners Tottenham Hotspur in the El Clasico meeting that we've all been waiting for. Now, guys, it's not just the transfer window. It's also, it seems, the managerial transfer window, because we follow closely some of our faves in their moves and their slightly more unusual moves. And Mick McCarthy, if we remember, went to Apoel Nicosia about 8 weeks ago. I was reading an article from the Ireland's Daily Sports Show, Off the Ball, that was entitled, "This Might Give Mick McCarthy's Career a New Lease of Life." Well, Luke, has it?
Not really. I think we've got serious issues around the Trade Descriptions Act, re the word a job here. For me, this is a fucking holiday. This is a holiday that he's done, where he's popped in occasionally, and 8 weeks on, or whatever it is, six games, he's been given the tin tack. I feel for Mick. I think he seems like a good egg. I've heard people say he's a lovely fella, and that he's got a bit of self-awareness about him as well. I thank him for the gifts too. But the person I feel really sorry for is Jack Byrne, who joined Apoel Nicosia at the end of last month, right? Check this out. Spent his time in isolation, as he had to, then made his debut for 5 minutes 2 days ago in what turned out to be Mick McCarthy's last match in charge, and is now stuck in Cyprus without him.
Has Mick McCarthy left Cyprus, though?
You know what I mean. I'm being metaphorical, Fish.
You wouldn't leave, though, would you?
That's what I'm saying. I reckon he should just stay there. And I wonder, actually, as Luke alluded to, that if this was just a big ruse to get to warmer climes in quite a sensible way. Because, you know, it's a tough time for employment. You know, people want their holidays, and a lot of people are getting in trouble for going to Dubai. So if you can do it on business purposes, you know, that's quite a cool way of doing it. And yeah, I don't know why more people aren't. I actually thought when Allardyce asked for a circuit breaker to the season, I reckon he was just thinking, oh, it's an extra 2 weeks in the job, that, isn't it? So,
and also, that's absolutely true. And I think, you know, Mick McCarthy has got a long way to go before he can. So, I know McCarthy is, you know, technically Irish and represented Ireland and all that stuff. But if we're talking about British and Irish managers going abroad and disgracing themselves, we're basically talking about all of them. But bear with me, when the gold standard for this isn't David Moyes eating crisps with a fan in the stand at Real Sociedad, and it isn't what Mick McCarthy's done here. It is, of course, Chris Coleman, who, as we regularly say on this show, but it bears repeating, missed training as a manager in Spain because he said his washing machine had broken and was photographed at a student union nightclub. That is what we're talking about. Brexit, you can stuff it up your ass.
Well, also, another one who might be looking at this and thinking, oh, that sounds like he's done quite a good job, is perhaps the current England women's team. He's also looking at the England
Fizzer.
Women's
Get Fizzer
team.
Involved.
Oh, Fizzer. Fizzer is, first of all, back on the scene on Twitter. Check him out. Fizzer. What is he? Fizzer 212 these days.
Fizzer, I think he's Fizzer 181, isn't he?
He's not 212.
I think he's 181.
Fizzer 69. Yeah, no. he was due to take charge of the women's team GB at the Olympics, but it looks as though he might be trying to make a little sidestep over to Inter Miami.
I quite fancy going over to America and going and eating all those M&Ms and going on Splash Mountain.
That's the thing, though. I wasn't qualified for this job. I won't be qualified for that one, so it doesn't matter, does it?
You've got him Yorkshire. He's Yorkshire there.
I know. Don't have a bit, yeah. I went a bit Joe Root. Sorry about that. Yeah, I mean, like, fair play. Like, go. Like, just go. I mean,
get out.
I don't know what else to say. Like, you know, obviously there's the David Beckham connection there, and he's getting the band back together and whatever. And I couldn't care less, to be honest. But it's his pet project; he can do what he wants with it.
Vish,
yeah.
Sorry to cut in, mate, but if you're not going to pile in on him, I'll just do it.
Well, I feel like he's the kind of person, though, who just, like, he's got no self... We know he's got no self-awareness. And so, like, even the way that he's approached the women's job from the very start, even the fact that he got it in the first place, if he leaves now, yeah, it'll be a bit of an inconvenience, but I think we'll get over it, and I think it'll be long overdue, to be honest.
So my angle is this, right? If you're putting together a prospectus which calls, like, your new club in Miami, quote unquote, you know, world beating and the most exciting thing to happen in US soccer or whatever it said, and then you go and get Fizzer, right? You are not doing what you say you're doing, and I think it's a bad look.
I think that's fair. I think that's very fair. Yeah, yeah.
But I wish him well.
He looks to me like someone who gets really badly sunburned as well.
Oh, big time. Big time. And I'm speaking to someone who also does that. I'm speaking to someone who gets sunburned opening the fucking fridge.
It occurs to me, we strictly speaking don't know that he is going to be the boss, Fizzer.
But that doesn't mean we can't lay into him, though.
Our role. So it might just
what else are you
going like
to do? What, fucking
social media
thinker?
Manager? Or, or like supporting his brother in something else. Like,
jizz farmer. He could be a jizz farmer.
Horse jizz. Fuck's
sake. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Rescue this. Rescue this. It's Phil Neville's fault. We'll get Marx's quotes on it tomorrow.
Yes, so that is the managerial merry-go-round that we will continue to bring you. And as Luke says, we wish Fizzer and Mick McCarthy, actually, all the very best.
I realised that Phil Neville would be the whisperer. He'd be the horse whisperer to the
name. Say that again.
Sorry, go to a break, please.
You had a chance to get out there. And now I want to hear what you had to say, mate.
I just said that he could be the horse whisperer to Thomas Muller's other bit.
Come okay, on. Yes, let's get to a break.
You can do it.
Now. Come on.
You can do it. Come on.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week on Stakhanov.
Join the self-care club as they trial out all those January health kicks. Listen as they put themselves to the test with Couch to 5K, Dry January and loads more.
I think that evening was probably the closest you and I have ever come to having a bit of a Barney. Which we didn't
really
have, but we nearly had one. It could have tipped into Bruges.
And why not check out the latest episode of Between the Lines with Melissa Reddy, where Roberto Martinez reflects on the highs and lows of his managerial career and the lessons he's drawn from 14 years at the top of the game.
When you're a young coach, you almost feel that you want to answer every doubt or every question mark that there is surrounding your position and out there. And then the older that you get, you understand that you cannot stop that. It's impossible. You need to affect the headlines of tomorrow. And that's the real power of working in football and being the manager.
All that and a whole lot more at Stakhanov.
Xavi, can you pass it one touch? Then why don't you do it? Listen! Listen!
It's like, Luke, why can't you move it on from the penis thing, Kate? You've lost control. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. I haven't lost control. I'm going to press a button. It's time for emails.
Just email show at footballramble.com right now. So Peter, or Fish, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, or Marcus can read it out. Well done.
Yeah, nice to get a daily reminder that if you pressure Pete Donaldson into doing something that he doesn't want to do, you will receive the most obnoxious email jingle of all time. That is Darius Panozzo, who's got in touch first. A great name, Darius Panozzo. Fantastic. He has emailed in saying, in the Football Federation of South Australia, which is the most advanced amateur level of football before the A-League level in South Australia, there is one club who have risen to cult status when it comes to stupidly obnoxious goal music. Yes, we're talking about obnoxious goal music again, people. Given the rather small population of the footballing community in South Australia, you are guaranteed to have come across a player who has been subjected to this torture at some stage during their careers. The club in question, Metro Stars, would frequently play the riff of the Wenger Boys smash hit, We Like to Party, brackets Wenger Bus. Do you guys know that song?
Yeah, of
Do
course.
Do we know it?
Mate. Yeah. Do you want Fish me to give you a little rendition?
Wedding, actually. It was your first dance, wasn't it, mate?
That's a double rubbing because I had to cancel my wedding. Thanks for that.
Oh,
cheers.
Well, because your wife didn't want to marry her.
She left me.
So anyway, left him. Darius goes on to say, we like to party, brackets Wenger Bus, each time a goal was scored, not just for their senior side, but for every single age group across the league. Why? I guess because some wise guy thought Wenger Bus and Metro Stars sounded similar. Now, you usually might think that this would make them a pure laughing stock. However, annoyingly, they tended to be quite a good club and would frequently put 5+ goals past each team they faced. I assure you now, there is nothing worse than just conceding for the 7th time in an afternoon for the reserves and being subjected to this tune. And before you think there was a crowd cheering along, you have to remember this is essentially amateur football and the crowd is full of parents who just come to see their kids play and players of other age groups who had actually already heard the song several times that day anyway. Truly obnoxious.
Wow. I mean, that is something else because that is a torturous tune. That's...
I've got one more thing to say, Vish. The Wenger Bus is coming and everybody's jumping to New York to San Francisco. It's that one, right?
An intercity disco. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not as good as Boom, 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 in my view. That was the seminal hit of the genre.
I want you in my... Oh, hello.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't deprive us of your rendition.
Thank
That's
you.
That's also your walk on music into the ramble, isn't it? I would thought we might have been deprived that, given that we're not walking anywhere at the moment.
I know, it's a shame. And before I hand over to Vish for his email, I've just got to pipe up that, Vish, you opened the floodgates yesterday on the fish pun front. But I think what you did was you kind of hit a rich seam, but you failed to mine it, didn't you?
Yeah, I also thought, you know, it'd be really funny to create chaos for the people who are on the show the next day, and then I realised I was on the show the next day.
Yeah. So Dirk on Twitter's got in touch with a few suggestions for you, mate. Shark G Sung, Steve Guppy, Marlin Harewood, Manta Ray Wilkins, James Perch, and my first personal favourite, Coy Hodgson.
Manta Ray Wilkins is really good.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah.
Anyway, Vish, it's up to you, mate. You're over.
Yeah, I've got an email from Andrew Bruce here. Surely the most obnoxious goal music.
Bit informal, Vish.
I know. Mate? Well, I feel like I'm mates with everyone
Andrew.
Who emails in.
Apologies.
Yeah. Except for those weird people where you've got to do show more replies on Twitter. I'm not so friendly with them. Surely the most obnoxious goal music is Fleetwood Town playing the Captain Pugwash theme. Glorious if you're a fan of the COD Army, listening to it five times in a single two-minute highlights package after their 5-1 shellacking of Plymouth in November. Not so much if you're of the Devon persuasion, I'm sure. Now, I can't remember the Captain Pugwash theme.
Same.
Oh, but dear. I know there was that whole thing at school about we're talking about semen again, but you know, like there's semen stains and things like that.
But that's that's a myth, though. You know that?
I didn't watch Captain Pugwash. I thought that was just part of Pugwash canon.
So basically, the character it's weird because what seems to happen. So this is going to be very very obscure for the teenagers listening. Essentially, there was a show called Captain Pugwash, which was a cartoon for kids about a captain of a ship who pretends to be like the bravest captain around, but he's actually like a complete coward. Anyway, what happened somehow, somewhere on the line, I guess it was because before the internet and all these kind of rumors just gather speed, is that they said, people started saying, the character names are like double entendre names. So like Master Bates was one of them and Roger the Cabin Boy. But none of that is true. The Master, it was Master Mate, not Master Bates. The Cabin Boy was actually called Tom, not Roger the Cabin Boy. And it's just been completely made up. So anyway, if you can't remember the theme tune, go and check it out. I can't remember it, but it wasn't as sexually suggestive as everyone said it was.
Okay.
Happy to clear that up for you, like a Mythbuster.
Thanks so much for all your emails. Do keep sending them in to us. It is show@footballramble.com, or you can tweet us @footballramble. We love to hear from you. And if you happen to be Danish and know of any more cartoons that would tickle our fancy, then those are always welcome too. Now, I don't know if you guys saw on your Twitter feeds yesterday, I think it was yesterday, yeah, these strange pictures of a guy at Royal Antwerp having a sort of what looked like a sort of tussle with a whole load of security guards. I don't know, was he trying to come in the wrong entrance? Well, for example, no, as it turns out, he was turning up to the training ground of his own club wearing an Antelect top. Their arch rivals. Now, this seems to have been the most laboured attempt to get a move in history. Fish, what do you make of this as a strategy?
I'm a huge, huge fan of it. It's so wonderfully messy and like chaotic as well. Like what I can't understand though is like, surely if you can say I don't want to play for this team, blah blah blah, then you'll get that move. Why do you have to go and be so abrasive? It feels like he's jumped a few steps ahead of the process here.
Yeah, probably. Didier Lamkel-Z is the guy. He wants to go to Panathinaikos, Luke.
Yeah. He makes Peter Odemwingie look like Ryan Giggs.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, the lack of loyalty on display is incredible. It's also a great reminder. And by the way, and don't mistake me for criticising him for this. I think it's absolutely magnificent, and I would like to see a lot more of it. If you are a player who's so upset about your current club that you're happy to get in physical altercations about it and turn up with your rival team's shirt on, I mean, that is what we need more of. So this is the thing. Lots of people will be very po-faced and earnest about it and go, oh, we don't want to see this in the game. It's a shambles. I do like to see it. I want to see more of it. It's like wrestling. Make it more like wrestling. It's like, Vish, you know more about wrestling than me. It's a kind of storyline they were putting wrestling, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely. They've had a few storylines where people have been like banned from the arenas and they've rocked up at the end. So like, if we kind of walk this its natural course, surely it's going to get to a stage, or maybe even now because they've made up. I wonder if he gets to a stage where he plays in a match and then scores an own goal. Do you remember when Gallas threatened to score loads of own goals?
Yeah, that's amazing.
I reckon he might do that. He might kind of curry favour, get back into the starting lineup, and then just fuck things up from the inside.
The other thing about it is it's perfectly in the Venn diagram, because I'm not defending what William Gallas did, although I thought it was hilarious at the time and I think it's hilarious now. Gallas was an established international player in the Premier League. This guy's got one international cap and he's only been playing at the top level in Belgium, I think, for two seasons. And I feel like the the best thing about it was, and it won't ever rival the Graham Souness mandated apology that Dyer and Bowyer made that we all always talk about. But he was made to do an apology as well, and he justified it by saying, "It's simple. I want to go to Greece. Don't play with my career."
Well, he subsequently said, though, "I have reacted like this because I had a lot on my mind, such as a possible transfer. It was not easy for me." Do you think they'll win the Royal Antwerp fans round?
There's nothing else going on in the world now that could be seen as part of the bigger picture. I'm sure people will understand that he's the real victim here, for sure.
To be fair, he set the trend of breaking into buildings, so... You could say that he's something of a pioneer. The idea that he's got all these shirts as well, is he just getting them off Amazon Prime?
Because he said he's going to come in another one, didn't he? Another rival of Antwerp. Beer shot, maybe?
Yeah. Lovely
stuff. It's a bit of a worry that he's got so many. Exactly right. Like, anybody who's an enemy of my enemy is my friend, I guess, is the theory that he's putting there.
Yeah.
Do you reckon people might have even been saying to him, you know what, like, fine, you want to go on the move, but you can't at the moment because of the pandemic. And he's like, "That's a fucking excuse. I want out of here now."
He's touching the security guards as well. Like, have this, have this.
Yeah. I didn't think Odin Wenger could be topped. I mean, I've got to be even-handed about this. Like, there's something inherently more tragic about driving your car yourself to another club's car park and sitting in the car. That, for me, is possibly more impressive just because it's more Alan Partridge. But this is a definite kind of nice new angle on the whole genre.
Yeah. Other transfer window nonsense, if we want. Mesut Ozil.
Sure.
No, I'm joking. No, I am not joking. He apparently has got a move agreed to Fenerbahce, although he's also toying with DC United because... that would apparently help increase his brand, although I find that quite hard to believe given the fact that he's got far more Twitter followers than Arsenal. I don't know how much brand expansion
I wouldn't be going anywhere near DC at the moment, personally.
Maybe that's why he's keen for it, I don't know.
Yeah.
From one political mess to another. Go on, Mesut.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I guess that, as they say, is one that will run and run. Or perhaps it'll be wrapped up as soon as we leave this fictional studio that we're all currently sitting in our own houses. Big Sam, he's closing in on his first deal. Robert Snodgrass from West Ham.
Yeah, that's been signed by a Big Sam meme generator, so well done to everyone there.
Snodgrass is a good player. Leave Snodgrass
alone. He's a great player. I think he's really underrated.
Also reports that Andy Carroll is on his wish list, guys. Now he's a goal machine. Come on.
Oh, God. Why is he doing this? Leave Andy. Andy's just got home. You know, it feels a bit like, you know, Andy Carroll's come back home to Newcastle. He had a bit of trouble settling in, and then suddenly one of his old ruffian mates are there knocking at the door. Oh, can Andy come out and play?
No, I think what's happened is that the good news is, Andy, you scored your first goal for Newcastle for quite a long time, so congratulations. The bad news is you've triggered a clause in your contract, which means you now have to play for Sam Allardyce. So all the best. See you later.
The other thing that the transfer window brings up is all sorts of stories of like how transfers are being prevented, or as we've heard about from Royal Antwerp, how they're being affected. The Peterborough owner, Darren McAntony, seems to have a pretty hard line on people who want to move from his club. Their star striker, Sarike Dembele, has handed in a transfer request. Lots of people interested, including Old Firm and Fulham. And then in response, in a video on Instagram, McAntony said it was the player's agent meddling and he should get to fuck. Is this the sort of approach you'd take, Luke, if you were trying to get one of your players to hang around in lovely Peter? It's got a nice cathedral, I should say.
I think you know that. I think you know that's exactly the kind of language I would employ if people were acting up. But I would just also say, not far be it from me to criticise a fellow League One club as a Portsmouth fan. I haven't seen much of Peterborough this season, but if he's their quote unquote star striker, they're probably in a bit of trouble because I think he's got five league goals this season, which isn't.
Well, sold Ivan Toney, didn't they? So, you know.
He's a player I can get behind. I mean, I heard the guys talking about him yesterday. He's a fantastic player.
But brilliant.
But yeah, I mean, Darren McAntony is a bit of a controversial character. But the thing is, again, I'm quite non-traditional on this stuff. I quite like it when chairmen are like that. I mean, I know it can get a little bit unsavoury, and you get, for every good chairman, you get like a pretty exploitative or awful one. But I mean, he's chucking out a swear word every so often and he's doing some controversial stuff. Okay, it's not ideal, but it's a bit more it's a bit more of the rich tapestry of football, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm all in favour of this kind of this behaviour. I think especially it's quite, I mean, you know, it's quite a good tactic for, I suppose, controlling that kind of narrative. I think if an owner comes out and speaks like that, we generally forget about the whispers of, you know, discontentment, because we're like, right, there's a guy at the top who's clearly like lost his rag with it. And it's quite easy to turn fans against agents than it is to turn fans against players. As someone, you know, when you're associated with a club. And also swearing's good, isn't it? So let me
So Vish, just imagine then there's a key player. You're managing Manchester United, like in your fantasy. Do you manage them in your fantasy career? I can't remember. But anyway, and someone wants to leave. Imagine that. What tactics would you deploy to try and keep them onside?
Right. Instagram Live. I'll go on Instagram Live, and I will say to any, because I'm Manchester United as well, and in this fantasy we're really good. So I'm going to go, right, he wants to leave.
Top of the league, mate, nearly.
Yeah, joint top, yeah. he wants to leave. The next professional striker who joins me on my Instagram Live chat, I'm going to sign. And so I'll start a kind of like social media bidding war like that. And then hopefully, because he sees how popular the stream is and everyone are commenting on it, calling me a nonce and stuff like that, what people do on Instagram, he'll join it and be like, boss, I'm sorry. But yeah, I want to stay.
Well, hang on, Vish. We all know what's going to happen here. You do exactly that as the manager of Man United. Go on through Instagram Live and say the first striker to join me gets to sign for the club. It's obviously going to be Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, isn't it?
Yes. I'll take that.
It's straight on there.
Yeah.
I don't see what could possibly go wrong.
Hello, boss.
With this idea.
Look, Mason, yeah. You're the Instagram Live queen, so you can tell me all I need to know to make sure I can keep the ruffians out. But I think that's a foolproof plan.
Yeah, you can actually kick people out. I only recently discovered that from your Instagram Lives, Luke. Unfortunately, when Luke and I were doing it, we hadn't learned that at that stage.
I basically used the whole thing to try and get you in trouble with people that you work with.
Oh, it's so unusual for me. That's not like the backbone of our friendship. I don't know. You have to just, I think the problem is with all of these people, if you want to keep them, you have to just butter them up massively, don't you? In this modern football. I was imagining that if my star striker wanted to leave, I'd just sort of deploy the Jose Mourinho, you know, the hamper, the laundry basket that he used to get in to talk to his players in that game against Bayern Munich. But probably you'd have to just be like, oh, the thing is, I love you, Siriki. There's no one else for me. That's the only way, really, isn't
it? You said that like you've done that before, by the way.
Because modern footballers are softies and they always fall for a bit of flattery. That's the story, isn't it?
It is.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. All right, then. Well, speaking of softies, I think it's time for us to get out of here. We've done plenty of work this morning. On which note, we want to ask you, if you wouldn't mind, guys, to do a bit of work yourself on our behalf. Hopefully not too much. If you're wondering if there's a way of supporting the show that doesn't really cost any time or money or effort, you could leave us a review on Apple or wherever you get your pods. 5 stars, please, if you wouldn't mind. It means a lot to all of us. I've actually been looking at, there's been some really lovely ones recently, guys. I don't know if you've had a look. But yeah, we really appreciate them. And we love that you get in touch with the show and tell us what you think. So please leave us a review. We'd appreciate it so much. It helps people find the pod, which is, of course, what it's all about. People joining the madness.
Kate, do you want me to jump in and kind of bad cop it off the back of that?
Yeah, yeah. Go for it.
Just leave us a fucking review, man. It takes like 2 seconds. What's wrong with you? Do it. Leave a review now. It'll take you no time at all. And don't moan about it either, for goodness sake. There you go.
I mean, you can if you want. You can moan in the living room. As long as you leave 5 stars, I mean, it doesn't really matter to us, although we love the nice words too, don't we, Luke? No, don't
yeah,
be mean to the listeners like you always are.
I love them all. I love all of them. I do. I love them all. And that's why I'm mean to them, because I expect better.
Should I come in and say something here? Should I be like King Solomon? I will cut your 5-star reviews in half, and so you have 2.5 each. And the one who says no, that's the true mum
parent. Yeah.
So
wow. Yeah. We've gone some places today, haven't we?
It's time to get out of here, I think. Yeah.
Well, we can't get out of here, Luke. We have to stay in here forever.
True.
At least I can get out of my box. I want to get out of my box.
Oh, bless you. Okay, I'm going to go back to my fort. And guys, you have a lovely day. Say bye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Vish.
Bye.
Tomorrow you've got Marcus, Andy and Luke in your ears. We'll see you then. Bye.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.